Let's change the world together. Welcome to the Snapcast, the podcast for all nonprofit professionals, bringing you interviews and amazing ideas for nonprofit leaders.
Hello, this is Mickey Desai with the Snapcast, recording as always in Strongbox West in Atlanta, Georgia. Thank you for joining us at the table. My partner in crime is
Caroline Eccles with Wellspring Nonprofit Resource.
And back for a second round, our guest is
Violet Meyer of the Heating Energy Assistance Team, also known as HEAT.
And your job with HEAT is?
I am the Communications Development Coordinator.
Great. So let's talk about the actual art of doing communications. And in a very broad sense, how do you do it? Well, first of all, in a very broad sense, what do you do and how do you go about doing it? And then I'll have some other questions about after that.
My job is a lot of writing. I do a lot of emailing, internet copy, from everything from social media to email blasts to corresponding with board members. I am basically the voice of HEAT. So anything that has to do with communication, catering with the outside. Mm-hmm. That's what I do.
How many people do you touch on a day-to-day or a week-to-week basis?
It's according to the week, because it's according to the projects that we're doing. Like, for example, if we're doing something like planning for a board meeting or like the major annual meeting, I'm contacting thousands. But on a day-to-day, usually it's according to the project. It could just be municipalities or faith-based groups, or it could just be, you know, just in-house information. So it's literally according to the week.
Mm-hmm. So when you communicate with the municipalities, is it them communicating with you what their needs are, or is it just...
Yes, they give us data about, you know, people that they assume need heating assistance in their areas. And also I speak to them about, like, when they have their annual campaigns, you know, I make sure that they have articles to put in their newsletters. Mm-hmm. I make sure they have mail pieces to mail out, you know, with their bills, you know, different things that they need in order to promote HEAT in their municipalities.
So do you put things in their newspapers too, like the little local newspapers?
They usually do it for us once a year, like during the fall. So I send them like social media posts to put up. I put, you know, give them newspaper articles, the information to put in their mailers, and
because they love that. If you send them an article,
them a whole packet. Yes, we call them toolkits.
Nice. Yeah.
What would you say the hardest parts about doing the job are?
I wouldn't say it's. I don't have a hard part. I'm a people person.
Sure.
So I actually like communicating. I think for me, I guess the least interesting is when you actually have to just stay in and type. I like to be out amongst the people.
Gotcha.
So do you speak to different groups?
I do.
What types of groups?
Like, for example, I think it's called MGAG. It was like a United Methodist group in West Atlanta, Southwest Atlanta. Mm-hmm. I went over there and told them about the HEAT projects. It's a group of churches and different nonprofits on that side of town. Mm. And I gave information, traded information, so they can tell their people about our resources. And we do it at different groups. And we also offer things like heating, conservation information, budgeting, and things like that for, you know, different places who may need them.
The Salvation Army also kind of coordinates different groups. Do you ever work with them?
No, I have not worked
with them. So there's the Salvation Army Croc Center is in Pittsburgh. And that seems like a place that might need your help, because it's a lot of people that are staying in their homes, that these are family homes, but now they're kind of having issues with taxes are going up, and and all those things are impacting them because of the Beltline is going through. And so these houses are going way up in price. And so it's hard for them to hold on to their homes.
I can imagine.
Gentrification.
I can imagine.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Kirkwood has gone through it. A lot of places are, a lot of cities, you know, different small cities in metro are going through it now.
So let me ask again for a minute, what different tools do you have in your toolbox to do the communications job?
What do you mean?
Well, we've talked about the internet. Do you use anything like a social media dashboard?
Like Hootsuite?
Absolutely. Okay.
I use Hootsuite, MailChimp. Those are my main things that I use a lot when it comes to internet. Of course, we use this, all the social media platforms. They really, really make communications very, very easy.
Yes. I've used Hootsuite for personal purposes in the past.
Yes. And automation is awesome.
If I had to go, I was going to say, so you're able to actually queue stuff up well in advance, it sounds like.
I usually do, like, especially social media, mm-hmm. I do it a week in advance. Mm-hmm. And although I do have scheduled posts, if something is urgent, I still can post throughout the day. Okay. But I always make sure that we are always talking about our mission and what we do and how important we are. And I also try to engage the people to ask. Like, I did this awesome SurveyMonkey survey that I sent out to our donors and just asked them, like, what do you want to see mm-hmm. from us? And I thought the data was very, very interesting.
What did they say?
They actually said they wanted more social media. Hmm. They said they wanted a more community event. Hmm. They wanted to see us more because a lot of people don't know about HEAT.
I'm surprised because a lot of my personal friends are actually burnt out on social media. I don't know.
Yeah,
if
you'd be surprised,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, okay.
And which was very surprising because our major donor base is 55 and up.
Right.
So it was very interesting that they would want to see more social media. And we are really trying to tap into the millennials.
Sure.
So they're our next challenge.
Do you have a strategy for that?
We're trying to promote our sustainer program. Because we see data shows that millennials like to pay small amounts over mm-hmm. time. So if we can get people really interested in our sustainer program, it's proven that sustainer programs will actually make more donations over the long run than just a big one-time donation. If I can get you just to give $12 a month or $20 mm-hmm. a month for the next 5 years, it actually equals more than just a one-time donation of $100 or $300.
So how do you get that message to the audience?
Sustainer program, mainly through social media. And when I do go out, you know, to speak to, like right now, I've been working on the faith-based initiative. I come in with packages and I break down their our sustainer programs, how it works and stuff like that.
Do you find that one social platform is better than any other for reaching niches or segments?
Millennials prefer Instagram. Facebook.
Right.
It's to be announced.
That's probably the kindest way to put it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right.
We don't know. You know, sometimes it seems pretty good, and sometimes it seems as if, you know, everyone is abandoning it. But it seems like Instagram is always steady. So that mm-hmm. seems like the newest thing.
Okay.
Do you have volunteer opportunities?
We do. It's not volunteering like in the office mm-hmm. usually. It's more like volunteering of services. We appreciate people who are good at technology or have, mm-hmm. you know, ideas of how we can expand our outreach and things like that.
And do you have volunteers in all these little counties that can spread the word about HEAT? Like they could attend a local event for you?
You know, we actually started an ambassador program, mm-hmm. which we are trying to recruit volunteers in all of our areas so they can do that. So
yeah.
I promote that often, saying we would love for you to become a HEAT ambassador.
And we have a house in a teeny tiny town in Georgia. And I keep thinking about them, like, how do they find out about this? Because it's very rural. And I mean, the city only has 4,000 people in it, mm-hmm. this county seat. And so it's probably something, I'm sure there are lots of counties out there just like that.
Yes, it is. So we are always, and again, this is appeal to become a HEAT ambassador because we don't have a voice in a lot of these areas. And I guess the closest things that we have to ambassadors are our community action agencies. And those are independent, you know, agencies that help HEAT out of the kindness of their hearts.
Right. Mm-hmm. So when you're doing the thing with social media or press releases or whatever it is mm-hmm. that you have to do, where does the content come from and how do you know how and where to deliver it?
The content actually comes from, you know, a lot of HEAT information. Like in our background, I like to do stuff like fun facts, like, did you know HEAT was funded in 1983? Mm-hmm. I ask people about, you know, I do a lot of things, articles about energy, how Georgia is, I think I found an article saying Georgia is the third highest place in the country with high heating bills, electric bills, energy bills in general. So, you know, I like to share a lot of news articles, just different type of content, just so it's not all about HEAT. We want to be a source of information, a source of inspiration.
All the tangential information around.
Yes. But of course, it has to be relevant to what we do. But we want you to know that we're just not just saying donate to HEAT, although we do need your donations because the need is great, but we also want to be a great resource for you. So when you get on our website, you're going to always get fed something important.
Are there any guidelines that you would have for other people in your position about how many times in a month they might contact their constituents or what kind of messaging they should deliver and when?
I think it is, you have to really know your base. Mm. Because I don't think it's a one size fit all. Because, you know, you can Google, like, you mm-hmm. know, everyone needs a Facebook post at 7:25 on Tuesday.
Right.
But if you know your audience wake up at noon, mm-hmm. and they're usually on Facebook, you have to tweak it to the people
right.
that you know. And you have to consider, like, for example, I think I reach more via MailChimp. Mm. And I do not do it more than once a month. And I also, when I send out email messages, you know, not only do I talk about our mission and what we do, sometimes we just send out things that just say Happy Mother's Day.
Right.
So just, you know, that you're constantly on our mind, and right. you know that we're constantly on your mind also.
Right. So it is a relationships
keeping relationship
maintenance
thing.
Effect.
Because people want to give to people that care about them and that they care about.
Mm-hmm.
And we also like to highlight, you know, some of our HEAT recipients. We have great videos about HEAT donors. Like if you saw on our website, Chris Strippelhoff,
mm-hmm.
he is over the gas authority up there in Kennesaw. And he talks about the culture of giving that they have, like the entire office they donate to HEAT. And it tells you, and it's mm-hmm. it's a great video. And they tell you why they give. And we also have videos about great recipient of the different type of people you give. You have people who are elderly people. You have people who are single parents. You have disabled people. You have veterans. And you have just regular people who just had a really, really hard time. A bill came up, a car
right.
broke down. And people have to understand, we only pay one bill per year.
Okay.
One bill.
That's
per
like
year.
Mac does mm-hmm. kind of the same thing.
Yes.
So your job is to tell the story as many different ways as possible.
Yes.
To as many different people as possible.
Yes.
I have.
And be very, very diverse in it, because we're
sure.
in a very diverse culture.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that really appealed to millennials. They like to see that you care about the world.
Something I like to ask nonprofits that I occasionally work with is, do they have like an emergency contingency plan for their communications efforts? If something blows up, like if someone in the organization gets sued, or I'm trying to think of something that would be relevant to HEAT, but I used to chair a mental health organization in Atlanta, their board. And, you know, the thing we never wanted to happen, thank goodness it never did, was either a malpractice suit or a patient committing suicide or mm. something. So in those circumstances, there were contingency measures in place on who could say what to the media if it ever came to be. Does your organization have that kind of planning in place?
I'm sure our executive director does, because he's very, very careful about yeah. every word that is uttered.
Mm-hmm.
And everything goes through legal
sure.
uh-huh.
and the board. So I am sure. I don't know the name of that plan, but I am very positive
yeah.
that he has it in place.
There probably is a nice, concise term for that kind of plan. But yeah, it's like, in fact, I help another medical entity out, and the rule of thumb there is, if you're ever contacted by an outside member about anything, the answer is always talk to John.
Yes.
And that's it. That is the plan.
Mm-hmm. And that's what I say. Yeah. Talk to Jeffrey Joseph.
Yeah.
Thank you. Any other questions?
No.
Great. And once again, tell our listeners how they might contact you if they have any questions for you.
Log on to heatga.org to find out more information about the Heating Energy Assistance Team.
Excellent. And I'm Mickey Desai, a operator of the nonprofit Snapshot. You can find me via nonprofitsnapshot.org. And
Caroline Eccles at Wellspring Nonprofit Resource.
Thank you for joining us, everybody. We will look forward to talking with you next time.
This has been the Snapcast. Thank you for joining us.